What was the simple solution? Best to start with the first rule of policing, suspect the victim. Vimes wasn't quite sure who the victim was here, though, so suspect the witness. That was another good rule. That meant the late Dozy. He could have walked out with the scone days before he discovered the loss. He could have done just about anything. The way the thing was guarded was a joke. Nobby and Colon could have done it better. Much better, he corrected himself, because they had devious little minds, and that was what made them coppers. The guards of the scone were honourable dwarfs, the last people you wanted to entrust with anything. You wanted sneaky people for a job like this. But it made no sense. He'd be the prime suspect. Vimes wasn't well up on dwarf lore, but he figured there was not a huge friendly future in store for a prime suspect, especially if no other solution was forthcoming. Maybe he'd snapped after 60 years of changing candles. That didn't sound right. Anyone who could put up with a job like that for 10 years would probably run in their groove for the rest of eternity. Anyway, Dozy had now gone to the great big gold mine in the sky, or deep underground, or wherever it was dwarfs believed in. He wasn't going to be answering any questions. He could solve this, Vimes told himself. Everything he needed was there, if only he asked the right questions and thought the right way. But his Vimish instincts were trying to tell him something else. This was a crime, if holding a piece of property to ransom was technically a crime, but it wasn't the crime. There was another crime here. He knew it in the same way that a fisherman spots the shoal by the ripple on the water. The fight on stage continued. It was slowed by the need to stop after every gingerly exchanged axe blow for a song, probably about gold. What's all this about? He said. It's nearly over, whispered Sybil. They've only performed the bit concerning the baking of the scone, really, but at least they've included the ransom aria. Iron Hammer escapes from prison with the help of Scout, steals the truth that Aggie has hidden, conceals it by baking it into the scone, and persuades the guards around Blood Axe's camp to let him pass. The dwarfs believed the truth was once a thing, a sort of ultimate rare metal, really, and the last bit of it is inside the scone. And the guards can't resist because of the sheer power of it. The song is about how love, like truth, will always reveal itself, just as the grain of truth inside the scone makes the whole thing true. It's actually one of the finest pieces of music. Gold is hardly mentioned at all. Vimes stared. He got lost in any song more complex than the sort with titles like Where Has All the Custard Gone? Jelly's Just Not the Same. Blood Axe and Iron Hammer, he muttered, aware that dwarfs around him were giving him annoyed looks. Which one was... Cheery told you they were both dwarfs, said Sybil sharply. Ah, said Vimes glumly. He was always a little out of his depth in these matters. There were men, and there were women. He was clear on that. Sam Vimes was an uncomplicated man when it came to what poets call the lists of love. He'd noticed that sex bore some resemblance to cookery. It fascinated people. They sometimes bought books full of complicated recipes and interesting pictures, and sometimes when they were really hungry, they created vast banquets in their imagination. But at the end of the day, they'd settle quite happily for egg and chips, if it was well done, and maybe had a slice of tomato. In some parts of the Shades, he knew, people adopted a more pick-and-mix approach. Vimes looked upon this as he looked upon a distant country. He'd never been there, and it wasn't his problem. It amazed him what people got up to when they had time on their hands. He just found it hard to imagine a world without a map. It wasn't that dwarfs ignored sex. It really didn't seem important to them. If humans thought the same way, his job would be a lot simpler. There seemed to be a deathbed scene now. It was a little hard for Vimes, with his shaky command of Ankh-Morpork Street dwarfish, to follow what was going on. Someone was dying, and someone else was very sorry about it. Both the main singers had beards you could hide a chicken in. They weren't bothering to act, apart from infrequently waving an arm in the direction of the other singer. But there were sobs all around him, and occasionally the trumpeting of a blown nose. Even Sybil's lower lip was trembling. "It's just a song," he wanted to say. "It's not real. Crime and streets and chases, they're real. A song won't get you out of a tight corner. Try waving a large bun at an armed guard in Ankh-Morpork and see how far it gets you." He shouldered his way through the throng after the performance, which, from the humans present, had received the usual warm reception that such things always got from people who hadn't really understood